Good evening. You know, I wondered tonight whether we should have this interpreted into Spanish, but I thought that would be a bit of a problem going from Australian to Canadian and then from Canadian into Spanish, so I hope that you can follow. But I wondered about the subject of anger in relation to baptisms, and I thought, well, wow, you know, this is working in my favor. Instead of having a full night, I can get it down into 20 minutes. But as I looked at this subject, what a tremendous subject this is, and what an important subject this is. And I think we're going to be cutting. One of the hardest things for a preacher to do is to cut on the fly, but that's what we're going to be doing tonight, because I'll keep my eye on the clock so that we don't go too long, and we'll cut a little bit. If you can turn to the book of Proverbs, because that's where we're commencing our study this evening, and Proverbs chapter 14. I'm just going to read a couple of one-line verses, really, and then we're going to look at a number of stories in the Scripture that cover this subject. Proverbs 14 and verse 17, "He that is quick-tempered does foolish things." We all know what that's like, isn't it? Proverbs 15 and 18, "A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension." Proverbs 22, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Don't associate with someone easily angered. You may get to learn his ways." And you know, it's really important to think about this. The Proverbs have these sayings, but they're really true and really important. There was a lady one time trying to rationalize why she had sudden fits of temper. And she said, "Look, you know, it doesn't really hurt. I just explode, and then it's over." And she was told, "Well, that's the same as a shotgun. It explodes, but it leaves a lot of damage." And, you know, the same happens with a temper. There was a man, an important business executive. He had been at meetings all day, and he was traveling from New Orleans to Washington on the train. He thought he'd go on the train because it would be easy. And so he was a heavy sleeper, and he needed to be awakened at 5 a.m. to get off at Atlanta. So he went to the porter and he found him and he said, "Look, I'm a heavy sleeper. I want you to wake me up at 5 a.m. so that I can get off at my stop at Atlanta. I've got other meetings to go to." And the porter said, "Not a problem." He woke up at 9 a.m. The train had passed Atlanta and was on the way to Washington. He got mad. He's running around the train and he found the porter and he's screaming at the porter and got to almost violence. And after he went away, a man came to the porter and said, "Wow, he was mad." He said, "No, he wasn't mad. The man I put off in Atlanta was mad." You see, anger can explode in any of us, and we live in a world that is angry these days. I think if you turn on the news, instead of getting your news fix, you usually get people that are giving loud opinions and shouting and harsh words. And you know, we can remember just even in Toronto, the G20, there was people down the street breaking windows and burning cars. The world is angry. And you know, we're not immune to it. One of my sons years ago was driving to the cottage and he saw a car get cut off, and the car that got cut off, out come an arm and was signalling to the driver that had just cut him off. As he got closer, he found out it was one of the elders from the assembly. Ruined a reputation. I'm not telling you which assembly and I'm not telling you which elder. But it ruined a reputation. And you know, sometimes we can respond angrily and we get caught up in the action of the moment. It's not unlike the cottage. We have water fights and, you know, I was under the house, up high, with a hose, covering two corners. And I thought when they come around the corner, I'd hit them with the hose and it beats water guns. Trouble is, they knew I was there and they shot me in the back and I jumped up and hit my head on the ceiling. That made me angry, but I found that as righteous anger. Because I don't know how I explained that, but anyway. We need to make sure that we have a controlled environment in our lives. The scriptures tell us that we really need to be controlled. And the Proverbs goes on to say this, a fool gives vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. And that's what we need to be as believers. We need to be men and women who keep ourselves under control. I want to look at four stories. Now, I'm not going to go into them very long. I'm going to cut out very quickly if I think the time's moving. But I want you to turn, first of all, to a soldier who was angry. And we find this in 2 Kings chapter 5. A soldier who was angry. 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 1, now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Notice that but there. This man was a powerful soldier. He was a great commander. He was highly respected, but he had leprosy. And as he was dealing with this disease that had come into his life, there was a young girl who was the first connection in a chain that changed this man's life. But she heard that her master had leprosy. And she said, if he would only go to the prophet in my country in Israel, he could cure him. And so the message got back to him and he set off to the king of the country, not to the prophet. And the king, when he had a letter from him and he had him come in, he got really upset that he thought he was trying to start a war. And the prophet heard about it and he said, send him to me. And we read these in a few verses further down in verse 11. The story picks up, or verse 9. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry. What was the problem? He was told that if you went to the prophet, you could be cleansed of your leprosy. And when he went there, the message was, go dip in the water 7 times. And if you dip in the water 7 times, you will be totally cleansed. And he got angry. The problem with Naaman was this, that he was an important man. And he wanted the respect that he thought his position deserved, and he got angry because it impacted his pride. And you know, pride is a thing that causes us to respond angrily sometimes. There are people, we heard it this morning, that it took some time for Roger to get through his pride before he could accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And pride is a great stopper when people are told that they're sinners and that they need to bow before the throne of grace and they need to accept God's way of salvation, and pride steps in and they say, no, I won't do it. And that was Naaman. He was proud and he didn't get the respect that he thought that he required. And not only didn't he get the respect, but he didn't like the way. He was told to go dip in Jordan. He said, are you crazy? Why would I dip in that dirty river? Why would I go into that river that is filthy? In my country, there are much better rivers. And that's the problem. That's what pride does. People say, I hear what you're saying about the word of God, but That's not the way I think I should do it. I can do it a different way, but you know, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof is the way of death, and pride causes people to go to destruction. And it wasn't until Naaman humbled himself and listened to the man of God and followed the instructions of God's way that he was cleansed of his leprosy. There was a soldier, and he was angry because of pride. Luke 15. Luke 15, we don't have a soldier, we have a son. And this son was angry. Now we read this story in Luke 15 and we call it the prodigal son. And you know, it's a story of about a young man who got sick of being around where his father was and doing the things that his father wanted. And he said, give me your inheritance and I'll go and I'll look after it. Well, you know, I don't think that an inheritance is yours until the father passes away. And my sons complained that I'm spending their inheritance. And I said, it's not really yours yet. And by the time I get there, I hope there's not much left. But this man wanted his inheritance, this young man. And he got it, and he went into a far country. And he spent it in riotous living, and he come back. He realized, and he come to himself, and he come back to his father, and of course his father was waiting. And his father drew him in with love and mercy and compassion. And he decided that he was going to have a party, and he was going to throw this great big party and invite people, and they were going to kill the fatted calf, and they were going to rejoice that the son had come home. But the story picks up about his brother, and we can read this in verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and he asked him, what's going on? Oh, the servant said, your brother has come home and your father killed the fatted calf because he had him back safe and sound. And the older brother became angry. Isn't that interesting? His brother had gone. His brother had wasted all his substance. His brother had humbled himself and come back. And when he heard that they were celebrating, he got angry. And you know, it's very interesting. The story goes on to say that the older brother had become angry and he refused to go in. And so his father pleaded with him. But he answered and said, Father, look, all these years I've been slaving. Get these words. All these years I've been slaving for you. And I've never disobeyed. He's disobeying right now. He's disobeying his father. His father said, come on in. And he said, I'm not going in. And he said, all these years I've been slaving for you, and I've never disobeyed your orders, and you didn't even give me a young goat. This is the anger of self-righteousness, of jealousy, of It's a man that is no different from his brother. You know, anger distorts things, doesn't it? When we get angry, we distort things. And here was a brother that was out there and he's saying, all these years I've slaved for you. In other words, I'm not getting what's due to me. You gave it to him, but you haven't given it to me. His heart was saying, look, I've been in this horrible grind. I've been slugging in slavery, and I'm just waiting till you die, till I get... You see, he wanted the same thing as his younger brother. He just had a different way of getting it. And when he heard that his brother was back, he got angry. And, you know, sometimes that's like us, isn't it? We're in the house of God. We attend the meetings. We work in the ministry. We dress the right way. We live the right way. But our heart's not right. Our heart's not right. We're obedient. on the outside. But you know, there's a heart problem. And this young man was a representative in the story that the Lord Jesus Christ was telling of the scribes and the Pharisees. They had their self-righteousness. They covered themselves with all sorts of good works, but they were far from God. They were religious, but their heart wasn't right. And that's not us, is it? We can be like that. We can be in the house. We can be in the family. We can be in the congregation. And yet, we can be self-righteous, and it hides our true heart position. You know, in our assembly back in Australia, there was a man, he was cranky. He was a believer for many years, but he was cranky. I mean, this man was terrible. And he was not only cranky in the assembly, but he was cranky with his neighbours. And if they upset him, he got the hose and he watered them. What sort of testimony is that? You know, sometimes we can be self-righteous, but anger can destroy our testimony. Let's go to Jonah. I'm just going to finish quickly with Jonah. I'm not going to spend much time there. We've had an angry soldier. We've got an angry son, but we've got an angry servant. Chapter 4. Jonah had just been out and preached an 8-word message. And a whole city had responded and repented. The message should have stopped there. The book should have stopped there at the end of chapter 3. And we would have said, this is the greatest preacher that ever lived. He went out there, he preached 8 words, and a whole city responded. But then we read the next verse and it says, but Jonah was greatly displeased and he became angry. Jonah wasn't angry at those people. Jonah was angry at God. He was angry at God. He said in verse 2, didn't I say that this is what you would do? Didn't I say that you would be merciful and kind? In fact, that's the reason I ran away. I knew that you were going to be like this. And the problem with Jonah was that he had the wrong perspective. He should have been rejoicing and he should have said, God, look at you reaching these people that I thought were our enemies. What do you want me to do? But instead of that, he got angry. And you know, I'm just going to say this. We often look at the book of Jonah and we look at Jonah in the great fish. When we look at the book of Jonah, we need to look at the story of a man whose heart was not right, whose perspective was all wrong. And we need to make sure that the heart of Jonah is not in our heart. A soldier, he was angry because he had pride. A son, he was angry because he was jealous and self-righteous. A servant was angry because he had a wrong perspective. And sometimes, you know, we can get a wrong perspective. We say, how is God working that way? How can God possibly work that way? But we need to be a faithful servant and get a right perspective and realize that God is in control. I've got one more story and I'm going to finish with this, and it's found in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 21. Naaman got angry because of his pride. The son got angry because of his selfishness. And Jonah got angry because he had a false perspective. But in this story, there's something different. You see, what did these men have in common? Their anger was a result of what impacted them. They were upset because of what it was doing, what things were doing to them. But in this story, the Lord Jesus Christ got angry because of what was happening to God. And let's just read the story. Verse 12. Jesus entered the temple area and he drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables on the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The Lord Jesus Christ got angry because of what they were doing to the temple. Now I'm just going to turn to a verse. You don't need to turn to it, but it's found in 1 Kings chapter 5, and it says this. 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 5. Solomon speaking, he says, I intend therefore to build a temple for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord told my father David. And when he said, your son whom I will put on the throne in your place will build a temple so that my name might be glorified. The temple was there that God's name would be glorified amongst men. And when the Lord Jesus Christ walked in, he saw them running a commerce. And you know, he wasn't angry when men spat at him. He wasn't angry when men nailed him to a cross. He wasn't angry when people stuck a crown of thorns on his head. He wasn't angry on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But he was angry when they defiled the name of God. And they brought his temple to disrespect. And he got angry. And he cast them out because they were destroying the testimony of God. Now I want to tell you something. In the book of Corinthians it says this. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Glorify therefore God in your body. You see, if there's going to be a confrontation, it needs to be on the basis of the glory of God. And you and I, if we're going to get angry, and if we're going to have a confrontation, we shouldn't be doing it over pride of what people think of us. We shouldn't be getting angry because of jealousy of what other people have or what other people are doing or how other people are reacting. We shouldn't be getting angry because of the way God is working and using other people to win people to himself. We should get angry and we should have a confrontation because we as believers are not glorifying God in our body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why we should get angry. And you know, for Christians, it comes to this, that the confrontation begins in our own life. We shouldn't look at other people. We shouldn't look at what others are doing. We should look in our own life and say, is my life in accordance with the Word of God? Is my life lived to the glory of God? And if it's not, I should get angry. I should get angry that I am not living as God requires me to be. There are people this evening going through the waters of baptism. They're going to stand up and they're going to say that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Their body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that, they should be glorifying God in their body. And I want to ask you the question, and with this question I'm going to close. If your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus Christ walked in tonight, what table would he overturn? I can't answer that. I can answer it for my life. But if he walked into your life, what table would he overturn? What would he throw out? Because whatever it is, that's what you should be angry about.